ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 21, entitled Bali Maharaj Arrested by the Lord, Text number 5.
Brahma Adayah Lokanatha Svanathaya Samadritaha Sanuga Balim Ajaru Sankshipatma Vibhutaye.
Translation proposed by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Lord Brahma and all the predominating deities of the various planetary systems began to worship Lord Vamanadev, their supreme master, who had reduced himself from his all-pervading form to his original form. They collected all the ingredients and paraphernalia for his worship. Purport. Vamanadeva first expanded himself into the universal form and then reduced himself to the original Vamanarupa. Thus he acted exactly like Lord Krishna, who at the request of Arjuna first showed his universal form and later assumed his original form as Krishna. The Lord can assume any form he likes, but his original form is that of Krishna. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. According to the capacity of the devotee, the Lord assumes various forms so that the devotee can handle him. This is his causeless mercy. When Lord Vamanadeva resumed his original form, Lord Brahma and his associates collected various paraphernalia for worship with which to please him. The Lord, who is also called as Urukrama, is showing another feature of his opulence, that he is independent. He can do whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases, in whatever way he pleases. This opulence is only present in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why we are not Bhagavans. Even though you would like to feel that we are a Bhagavan, or you would like a philosophy which will tell us that you are Bhagavan, but it is very obvious that we are not Bhagavan, because we can't do whatever we like whenever we like. But here the Lord has now accomplished his mission of this avatar, which is actually to bring back all that was now with the demons into the fold of the demigods headed by Indra. Having accomplished that in a most spectacular manner, something the world has never seen, a form so large has never been seen. We know of big demons who go to the sky, right? Aristasur, and the hump was into the clouds, and the tail was above the clouds, whatever. But they're just the clouds. Clouds are very low structures, actually. They just, you know, you go to Lonavala also, you find clouds. So clouds are not very... They're much, of course, bigger than our relative size, but clouds are clouds, they're just here. But there has never been an avatar so spectacular in its gigantity, or whatever its size, as Vamanadeva. Huge. To show that actually everything is within him. He is the creation. When it's a God, when you say Krishna or God, it is he with all his energies is all God. It is not that this is God and this is not God. Everything is within him. So he wants to show that actually he is everything. Mayatatam idam sarvam. He is there everywhere, present everywhere. To show his omniscient feature, that he is everywhere, his omnipresent feature, that he is everywhere. To show that, the Lord actually showed a very graphic example that here you see this? Everything is within me, is nothing very separate from me. So this the sort of oneness and difference comes over here. It's bhinna, it is also still at one. The energies of the Lord are one and different from him. So here, when Vamadev reduces size, we can see that is different. Vamadev is here, he is a small boy, whatever, 3 feet, 4 feet, small, dwarf. And then we have the whole world which is there. So there is energies. And just a few minutes back, he showed that everything was actually he. All that exists is he. Only he exists. God exists. Nothing else. So it is a very beautiful example of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Simultaneously, everything is God. And and 1 minute back, everything is not God. Everything is different from God also. So it's a very graphic. Vamandev is showing Mahaprabhu's philosophy very beautifully. So now he has come back to his original size. So Prabhupada compares it to Krishna. How Krishna showed that he is a creation. He's a creation. At the same time, then when Arjuna got bewildered and actually quite scared, nervous after seeing that. Of course, that was a different universal form because uniforms are different. They are not the same. There's variety everywhere. That was very, very bhishan. That was very ferocious. That was very, you know, scary. Even if you see a diagram of a nice photograph of this universal form, it's like all mouths and, you know, swallowing soldiers and fire coming out. It's very, very fearsome form of that because it is a universal form manifested during a war. So it's not a very somya form. But here, it's different. Anyway, so here the Lord has now come back to his natural size, his original size, just like Krishna came to his original size also on Arjuna's request. And what is being done now here? As is explained in the previous verse yesterday, that his feet were going not beyond just the clouds or beyond just this planetary system. They're going way beyond Janatalok Tapalok. We have to use our imagination to some extent. To understand what this would feel like to be there, to see this. A form so large that is going beyond, into Brahmaloka. So, I think the size of the universe is what, 4 billion miles or something, right? Fifth canto says, 4 billion miles diameter. So, Vamandev's size was at least 4 billion miles. A little more than that because he actually covered, he also broke to the universe, so a little more. That's how big he was. Hare Krishna. Unimaginable. How tiny we are, and how can we ever say we are God? You know, Prabhupada used to always say in Hindi, in his Hindi lectures, this was his constant hammering to all of us, all the crowd, audience. Bhagwan Mahan hai, ham tuch hai. It always says this, tuch hai. Tuch is tuch. Tuch means insignificant. So, in front of Vamandev, are we anything? Somebody says he's a 6 foot tall. He's 6 foot 5 inches, basketball player. What is 6 foot 5 inches, 10 inches, 7 feet? What is all this? It's nothing. Even Satyuga people are much taller, and even then, compared to them, we are insignificant. In compared to even human beings in previous era, we are so small. We're talking of in front of God. So we are at all, in all levels, in all calculations, in all calibrations, we are all small. We're insignificant. We're just nothing. It is only our pride which makes us feel different. That's all. So now Brahmaji is there along with all his associates, the Brahmalokavasis. And all the predominant deities from other planetary systems all have gathered there. It's explained that they all gathered there. From all, each and every planet has got a deity. There are predominant deities everywhere. This concept is there, like this compound. The LNHO compound, as a predominating deity, which was established as Lakshmi Narayan, right? So he's been there and he's respected as that. And he's the owner of this place. And they say Gopinath is a tenant, right? Radha Gopinath is a tenant, he has come afterwards. So, but he belongs to Lakshmi Narayan, the place. So there is a predominating deity everywhere. That's like our hospital, we have Lord Jagannath. He's a predominating deity. Huh? So like that, there are, this concept is there. Or even in, among demigod or goddesses, you know, there is one, you know, village, and there is a village deity will be there. Huh? Or the forest, like when Lakshmanji is going away from Sita Devi, being pierced by her very sharp words, he said, "Oh, that all that forest deities, please take care of Mother Sita, because I am leaving her under your shelter." So there are forest deities, you know. So there are, everything is personified and taken care of by someone. Nothing is just, you know, like nobody. I don't know. Who's, there is somebody in charge of everything in this world. The rivers, the trees. There is a deity for everything. And when Ravana came, it is explained in Ramayana that the Vanadevis were very, very scared. They were like terrified to see Ravana, because Ravana could terrify even Indra. What to talk of this puny deities of the forest? He was very powerful. So point is that each and every planet also has the predominating deity, who is like the predominating deity of among all those deities who are there taking care of so many things in that planet. There's one personality who's taking care of all of them, like Bhumi Devi. Taking care of all. So all these great personalities who are deities of the planets, they all ultimately assembled in Brahmaloka. Why? What was in Brahmaloka? The feet of the Lord were in Brahmaloka. They were coming through Brahmaloka. So they all were attracted to that. And they began collecting various paraphernalia for his worship. Like we saw yesterday, it is explained how Brahmaji offered the water from his Kamandalu. And then Gangaji came. The combination of three. Transcendental Prabhupada says there are three planetary systems, and Gangaji also comes from three sources. Narayan transformed into water. Again, is Achinya Bhedabha Tattva. Gangaji is God in his liquid form. Krishna in his liquid form, Narayan in liquid form. So again, the same philosophy. And then the second source is from Brahmaji is Kamandalu, when he washed the Lord's lotus feet. And the third is the causal ocean breaking through. As the universe cracked, and then three drops came in. So all those three combined together form the most holy of all rivers, that is Mother Ganga. So here what the personality is doing, they are all collecting various paraphernalia for worship. So just a few thoughts on this about paraphernalia for worship. Is that actually the supreme worship, when we worship the Lord, then we all need paraphernalia. We need paraphernalia. We need, so paraphernalia are collected from the, like we are having this body. This body is made up of eight elements, and everything in this world is made up of eight elements. So there are five gross and three subtle elements. So the actual paraphernalia to make a complete worship, the Lord is complete. He is Purna. He is Purna Madapurnamidam. He is complete. So actually to have a complete worship of the Lord, you need to have all eight ingredients to make a perfect worship. Only when you have all great ingredients, what the Lord has provided to you, and you combine all of them together, and then offer it to the supreme complete, that is Krishna himself, then it is actually a complete worship. Otherwise, it is incomplete. We'll see how. Like we have earth. What comes from earth? Like we have all these flowers and all coming from earth, right? Flowers is there. All the gross elements which come from the earth, we have so many things from the earth which we give to the Lord, right? The cloth he wears comes from the cotton, the silk he wears, all the diamonds he wears, all coming from the earth. Bhumi Devi is supplying. All this is being used for the Lord. Then we have water. Water is required for worship, right? Of course, every day we have argya. We have water. Argya is there. But then we bathe the Lord with water. Not just with water, we bathe the Lord with so many other liquids. Like in Abhishek, we have a beautiful ceremony of the Lord. We see that he is worshipped with so many multicolored liquids. There is, I think, our Srinandanana Prabhu, right? He's in charge of this. And it's a great service. Every time there's Abhishek, he's called in. And there are buckets and buckets of mango juice, buckets of anar juice, buckets of watermelon juice, and green, yellow, and all. Even they look beautiful. Of course, they taste more beautiful also. But they look beautiful. And all this is offered to, as for the season, offered to the Lord. And then you have panchagavya liquids. All the panchagavya. ghee and water and rose water and yogurt and milk. So all these liquids. And of course, for bathing the Lord, we require not just tap water of municipality. That's not, is improper because it is not pure. It's chlorinated and full of bacteria. But we use Ganga Jal, right? This is what Gangaji is coming from the Lord's lotus feet. So that same Ganga is offered back. It's coming from him only. It's coming from him. But all the earth comes from Krishna. So all that Krishna is giving us in the form of those eight elements is again reposed back to him. That's worship. That's worship. To understand that the whole creation actually is for worship of the Lord. The whole creation is meant for the Lord's pleasure. So whatever is in the creation is meant ultimately for the Lord. So you take Ganga water, which is coming from him, again you bathe them with Ganga water. You take Jamuna water, which comes from him, and you bathe them with Jamuna water, right? So in this way, he's offered all these auspicious waters, like at Govinda Kund also. How much water was used at Govinda Kund? And the Adityas brought something, and the Airavat brought from the heavenly sky, and then Indra brought, and everyone, you know, Surabhi brought, and all of them were just bathing the Lord. He likes, like we all like to have a nice shower, right? Like, you know, you have to just stand under the shower and just allow the water to just drip in and flow. Or people like to sit in a waterfall and just sit there. So Lord, that comes from where? Why do we like this water sport? Why do we like water to just... That comes from... Because that's the Lord having abhishek. And because we think we are also enjoyers, we also like some sort of abhishek. We make some arrangements where something flows from top and flows on our head. Nobody's doing it for us, so, you know, we just... nobody's offering that water, so, you know, you just have a tap, which just is flowing on your head. So it's like our own abhishek, self-created. But that comes from Krishna because he likes abhishek, the anointed one. Earth, water, fire. Fire is so important for worship, right? All the yajnas. And he manifests in fire. In fact, he becomes Vishnu. He becomes manifest in the mouth of Agni. And he devours. And then you have the ghee lamp. In Christian tradition, they have the candle. So fire is very important. The aarti ceremony is so important. Even if you don't see other items being offered, if aarti is going on and you're just seeing that somebody is offering the cloth to the Lord or somebody is offering the chamar, it's nice to see the whole aarti. But if you just have just enough time to see only the fire being offered to the Lord, that's actually by itself complete. Because among all the items being offered, among seven items, the most important item is the fire. Because the Lord is the supreme fire. Brahma, supreme Brahman, he is supreme Brahman. Supreme fire. So you're offering the fire of this world. So the aarti is most important among all the items. And that has to be done very properly. You have to count the times offered to different parts of the body. It has to be done more accurately. Others like the cloth, you can offer it sort of without counting, they say. Of course, you have to count all of them. But still, the fire is most important. So that's why the fire is offered to the Lord. When you go to any South Indian temples also, they want to show you the Lord, they will show you through fire. You can only see God through fire. Right? So then you put a camphor and then they put it around the Lord and then you see the Lord. Oh, is it Balaji and you know, Varadraj. Like that. So many forms of the Lord. Fire. Air. If you offer air to the Lord, to cool the Lord, we have this Morpank. Right? In Vrindavan, when the breeze is blowing and all the trees are shaking, these big banana trees are there and they're shaking. So like a banana tree is like a big fan. Banana tree leaves, like a large fan. And this is the concept. You go to Dakor and other places, in holy places in our country, when there are no fans, now they have fans, so then the deity has a fan although, stop. But then he has to have a manual fan. Some of you may have done that. As a child, I have done that. You go to Dakor, then there is a rod which hangs out, so every pilgrim can come and pull. And as you pull the rod, pull the big rope, then you know the flap is there, a big flap of cloth which goes over the Lord. And this way, it's a seva. You're giving the Lord some cool air. Why do we do that? Why do we cool the Lord's body? Because we ourselves are affected by Mahadavagni. This is our disease. Everything we do has got a specific deep purpose. It is not just a superficial ritual. Everything has got a meaning, and when you do it with that understanding, then you do it with that sort of absorption, and you get the added benefit of that understanding. So we are affected, our heart is inflamed, like you have inflammation, like we're swelling, you're hurt or something like that, get inflamed. The soul is inflamed. The soul is inflamed by desires. What inflames the soul? Like a tooth gets inflamed, or skin gets inflamed, or eye gets inflamed, becomes red, starts pouring pus. How does the soul get inflamed? The soul gets inflamed by material desires. Gets inflamed by material desires. So, like when you have, so then there is Davagni, you have to put, you have to quench it. So in this way, when Prabhupada was being fanned by his disciples with the peacock feather, Prabhupada mentioned this to his disciples. When you fan your spiritual master, the Davagni of your own heart is vanquished. So actually, you're offering it to somebody else, but it's coming back to you. Because we are part of the Lord. By offering it to the Lord, actually, the Davagni of our own hearts, the desires which are inflaming our hearts and keeping us bound. Why are we bound in this world? Why are we coming back again and again? There's only one thing. Because we have got an incessant flow of desires, which we remain unfulfilled life after life after life. To fulfill those desires, Krishna has to give you a body after body after body. Depending on desire, different body. Right? So till you have the desires, it will go on. So when you fan the Lord, these desires get settled down. They calm down. The inflammation goes down. And the desires disappear gradually. Right? Therefore, we do this. We offer air to the Lord. Then we have ether. Ether is so important element in Lord's worship. What is ether? Ether is the sound travels through ether. So all the mantras which are important in the worship of the Lord all are coming through. Like in any deity worship, all of us know that mantras are there. The Bij mantra is there. The Mool mantras are there. Pranam mantras are there. Then there is Aparad mantras are there. So there are so many mantras are there. Right? So these mantras are used. And in yajnas, so many mantras. Which you don't understand, of course. Rig Veda and Sam Veda. So many mantras are there. Right? So Radhanath Maharaj once told me, when he asked me to do deity worship years ago, I said, if you don't know any mantra, if you forget any mantra, you don't know any mantra, just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So knowing that I am very poor at Sanskrit, zero knowledge of mantras, maybe he guided me like that. But that's something which shows that actually, yes, mantras are important, but among all the mantras, you can use anywhere. You forget any mantra, you don't know what is the Bij mantra for this, you know. Like you worship Jagannath, you know, you're Jagannath, you know, you don't know his Bij mantra. I don't know. Balramji, you know the Bij mantras of, our deities. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So you offer Arati, you do Hare Krishna, right? So there's no problem. Krishna accepts. So all this travels through what? It travels through. Mantras travel through. Sound travels through ether. So mantras are so important. Extremely important. When you vibrate mantras in a particular way, it creates different impacts. Like we have Ananta Prabhu, who sings Malhar, and then, so Bombay is having a lot of rain these days. Thanks to Ananta Prabhu and his team of devotees, you know, there is some wetness around in Bombay. It is becoming a dry desert practically. So yeah, mantras are important. And of course, Mahamantra itself is a yajna, and that brings rain. Yagnat Bhavanti Parjanya, it brings Parjanya. Clouds come because of yajna. So yes, mantras have such potency. By mantras, you can do so many things. You can even eliminate a poison of snakes through mantras. There are snake charmers who just chant mantras and the snake poison goes away. So mantras were always used before this era of machines and gadgets. The previous era depended heavily on mantras. Everything they did was through mantras practically. They had no gross things. Now we have mobiles and everything else, we practice the same thing, but they did not depend on this external technology, they had mantras. So here the importance comes of mantra. And therefore, in Kali Yuga, how do you worship the Lord? You worship Him through the Mahamantra. Krishna is worshipped, Lord Chaitanya, especially Yuga Avatar, is worshipped through this. When we chant Hare Krishna Mantra, we need to remember this fact that it is not just a kirtan, it's actually a mantra being offered for the pleasure of Sri Sri Gaur and Nitai. Because they like to be worshipped in this age with this mantra. Because they have labeled this as a Mahamantra, and this mantra is offered to them for their pleasure. So this is we need to remember this small detail. Then you have fire, then you have the mind. How important is the mind? It's also an ingredient. Please remember that when you're offering anything to the Lord, it is not just these gross things like I have a flower, I have a ghee lamp, and I have agarbatti, and I have a chamara. So everything's ready, fine. So I can now do the aarti. Yes, that's fine. Part of the readiness is there. But where is the mind? Is the mind also is an ingredient? And when the mind comes in, then you come in the picture. Otherwise, it's not. You are not there. You are where your mind is, right? So when the mind is put in the ingredient of worship, then you enter the picture. You enter the scene of the worship. Till that time, you are somewhere else. It's only the flowers and only the agarbatti. You are not there. So who's doing the worship? Somebody else is doing the worship, not you. So the mind has to come in. The mind brings the soul along with it. Right? So the mind is probably the most important ingredient of worship. But when you find that even when you're worshiping the Lord, sometimes the mind just goes off, right? You're doing aarti to the Lord and the mind just goes off. Like I was doing aarti right now, I can confess. Doing aarti to Singar aarti, and my mind was attracted to the BTG cover. It's offered to the Lord, you know. So I said, what is the cover saying? You know, medical man. So the word medical came in, so that my eyes became like big, you know. So I was turning my neck and my hand was doing that. And my eyes were looking at the BTG cover offered to Gaur Nitai. Tao man defies medical science, something. So I got distracted while doing the aarti. So like that, the mind can fly. The mind goes here and there. So we have to hold it. Yes, we have to hold it. We have to focus it. And all of us know how much the mind flies during japa, right? So you are, when you're chanting, so actually when the mind is not there, you are not chanting actually. It's not, you're not chanting. It's only your tongue is saying something, but it is not being registered. The mind is not registering it. Therefore, that mantra actually is being actually wasted. It's actually a waste. It's not, you're not deriving practically zero benefit from that mantra which has gone where your mind is not absorbed. Therefore, they warn us every day in the morning through these aparads that the biggest aparad or the primary aparad, the root aparad, mula aparad is inattentive chanting. And that leads ultimately to all the, because of the, you know, lack of perception of the Lord's glory in the form of the Naam, Naam Prabhu, then all the aparads also will start creeping in gradually one by one. So the most important ingredient in any worship is the mind. The mind has to remain focused. The focused. Absorption. Bhakti is only as good as the absorption in the process of bhakti. You may be doing dhyana yoga or karma yoga, whatever yoga you are performing, but it's only as good as your mind is absorbed in that process. Right? So when the kirtan is going on, the class is going on, the worship is going on, we want to get absorbed. And want the mind to drag the mind and fix it on what is going on the present situation. The mind also wants to think of something of the past, something of the future. You know, you must have seen that. A lot of things of whatever happened yesterday or day before or years ago. And the mind also thinks about what's going to be happening today evening or tomorrow, like that. The mind never seems to be, you know, focusing on what's happening now. And in worship, what is happening is, in bhakti, what is important? In bhakti, the now is important. What's happening now is wonderful. And what happens tomorrow, we really don't know. Like Gopinath Prabhu says, past is history and tomorrow is mystery. Gopinath Prabhu says that very often. Past is mystery and the future is mystery, past is history. And our mind is going all over that place, you know. But Jagannath Prabhu stresses this point so beautifully again and again in his talks that bhakti is about the present. Like Grihasthas, this is a big catch in Grihasthas. Prabhuji will endorse. That most Grihasthas plan, say, okay, now I want to just plan for 10 years to have enough finances and then I'll do my bhakti. Probably just for this 10 years, 15 years, I want to just, you know. So devotees sometimes voluntarily make compromises on their bhakti standards to earn some money so that actually they can have enough money for, as if your bhakti depended on money. Because they, and in that way, a grihastha may actually miss on the present. All the festivals, all the yatras, all the lectures, all the beautiful things happening now, his mind is thinking, okay, I must go, but you know, his mind actually is not focused. He already has some plan for the future. In this way, you lose on the present. Like I think it was a Chetna or, Prerna festival, the power of now, right? Gaurgopal Prabhu, power of now. There's a lot of value to understand that. There are books written by philosophers on this. The power of now. So the mind has to be trained to focus on the present, on the now. If I'm chanting, then that is important. When I'm chanting, that chanting is important. When I'm taking prasadam, there are some devotees I know who are very specific about prasadam. They don't talk during prasad. They will not talk. Unless, of course, there is a big public gathering, they have to entertain somebody. Otherwise, they will sit and just honor prasad. Prabhupada would not talk during his prasad. He would just eat prasad, or maybe they have a Krishna book going on. So then why is that? Because when you're eating prasad or honoring prasad, then you want to focus only on the prasad. Like I was years ago, I think I mentioned this in one of the classes, that I was at Secret Chaitanya Prabhu's place. He used to stay just opposite our home, in my previous home at Malad. And Maharaj had come there to visit his home and my home. And he was taking breakfast prasad at Sri Chaitanya Prabhu's home, and his brother was talking to Maharaj, and his brother is enthusiastic about wildlife and nature and all that, and Maharaj was trying to use that to bring him to Krishna. So I said, yeah, nature life, and I see something about Maharaj just caught up with that subject, so just to keep him sort of get into a discussion with him and like that. I said, it didn't interest me what was going on, I was not wanting to be part of that conversation. So I just, and then that was going on, and then Maharaj taking some prasad during the time, talking to him. I was taking prasad also, and said, this is a boring discussion, it doesn't interest me. So I took a book and started reading. So Maharaj pointed out, when you're taking prasad, just take prasad, don't read. So I remembered that, and I stopped reading during prasad. I usually never read now during prasad. So the spiritual master was pointing out mercifully to his disciple that Krishna is manifesting to you right now as the prasad in front of you, right? So you are thinking that the prasad is less important and reading is more important. You think you're going to use your time nicely by reading? No. When you're reading, you read. When you're prasad and prasad, like when you're doing deity worship, you don't think of, doing something else. You're just doing deity worship. There's a Lord in front of you, and he needs to have a nose ring, and he needs to have a bracelet, he needs to have a headgear, and he needs to have a garland. So just focusing on that, you're not thinking of what I should make for prasad today evening in the Rajbhog. No, thinking of that. So the power of now, just be focused on what is going on, the present event, and that yields a full benefit of that absorption. Full benefit, so absorb. So like we go into a temple, this we asked Radhana Maharaj years ago, that when you go to a temple, then you find this tortoise. You've seen this tortoise or a turtle. A turtle, the murti of a turtle is there, and all the limbs of the turtle are out like this, jutting out of his body. So we see in many of our Hindu temples, Narayan temples, Vishnu temples. So I never knew why the turtle has to be here. What has the turtle got to do with Narayan? So I felt maybe it's Kurma Avatar or something. Kurma Avatar ka koi, but it is not Kurma Avatar. So it is actually that the when you go to the temple of the Lord. We have this kurma or turtle, which has the power to put its limbs out and withdraw it at will. Right? The turtle has a big shell. When it finds danger, then it withdraws all its limbs and goes into the shell. The shell is very hard, cannot be pierced. So most predators would not be able to break through that shell, and they would sort of leave. They cannot penetrate that shell. But when it is feeling safe, then it opens up all its limbs and his eyes, and his head comes out and sees. So when you go to the temple of the Lord, again, this is about the mind and senses. The mind, remember, is the leader of the senses, right? There are five senses. The leader is the mind. So when you go to the temple of the Lord, it is said, like this kurma, we have to allow our senses to fully manifest. The eye should be fully absorbed in seeing the Lord. In every detail of the Lord, the temple, its beauty, like when you come to our temple, there is so much to see. The nice chandeliers, nice paintings, and so many things are beautiful. Everything is so beautiful to the eyes. And then of course, you have the most beautiful Radha Gopinath, Gornitai, Gopalji, the gopis. You allow the eyes to fully, then with the ears, fully absorbed in hearing what's going on, the kirtan, the lectures, whatever is going on. And feel with your own hands, I'm walking on sacred land. This is sacred land. This is a land sanctified by devotees, and offering obeisances, my land, my body is touching the dust of the feet of the devotees. So in this way, it's a whole meditation when you come to a temple, and all the senses should be fully actually absorbing these holy understanding and vibrations from all sides. Or you meet the devotees and you embrace them with love. It's an experience where you are actually touching the Lord's devotees. So in this way, all your senses should be fully Rishikena, our absorption, our mood is what? Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. So Rishik means Indriyas, the senses. So the mind comes there. So it's also very important, probably the most important ingredient in worship, which we have to collect. Like it's the collecting, so we also have to collect that ingredient and put it into the service. Then you have intelligence. So important, intelligence is important. How does intelligence come into the service? Intelligence comes to service by when we are fully convinced within our hearts and our intelligence is convinced through logic, through reasoning and rationality that the Supreme Person of Godhead is Sri Krishna, and the means to worship Him is through bhakti. Right? So intellectually you are fully conversant with the philosophy, and through the body you are putting it into action. So there is conviction here and action through the body. So when you're using discrimination, to understand that this is, when I'm doing this worship, that you are intellectually understanding that this is the highest activity. There is no higher activity for the body and the mind and the senses than worshipping the Lord. When you're doing that, like when intelligence is convinced that there is Krishna consciousness and chanting, the most important, intelligence keeps the mind under control. And then of course you have the ego, the false ego. So how do we get the ego into the picture? What do we do with the ego? It's the last ingredient in the worship. Keep the ego out. Everything you have to collect and put into worship, the ego has to actually move out of the picture. And only when the ego moves out of the picture, then actually you are fully absorbed in seva. And how do we get the ego out? What does it really mean to get the ego out? Is it something? It's not a mechanical thing that you can just put it out of the picture. The secret of this is when we do our deity worship, then there are some mantras we chant before deity worship. Like we now in our temple we have that. And we chant this mantra that Nayam Vipurna Chanarpati Napi Vaishnava Shudro, that shloka of Lord Chaitanya, where he negates his identity as a grihastha, as a vanaprastha, as a sannyasi, as a brahmachari. He negates his identity as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra. He negates all this, his identity as all of this. And then what does he say in the end? What is the real identity? Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayor Das Das Dasanu Das. When you get into that mood of worship, that's why this is done before you touch the deities. You just can't jump into the deities and start serving them. Before you go to the deities, we have to chant this mantra. This is also a mantra. When you chant this mantra, you get established in your real identity as a servant of the Lord. And when you do that, your ego is eliminated. And what comes up is your real ego. So you are in your constitutional position as the Lord's servant. And when you go in that mode of servitorship, then the Lord really accepts all your flowers, all your agarbattis and all your chamara and all that you are to offer, all your mantras, all that actually reaches the Lord's heart. As Saraswati Thakur used to say, once he said that, I'm trying for a long time to offer one flower to Krishna and I've not been successful so far. Imagine Saraswati Thakur saying that I have not been able to offer one flower to Krishna. What does it really mean? You can offer tons of flowers to Krishna we offer one ton flowers to Krishna. What does that really mean, offering one flower? When you offer one flower to the Lord, means that in my understanding of your insignificant servant, I'm offering that with love to you. When you offer with that mood of eliminating all other identities, Sarvapadhi Vinirmuktam, when that comes in, then one flower can reach the Lord. So in this way, the final and most important ingredient of worship, which you have to collect or rather deal with, is to eliminate the false ego and keep the real ego in front, that I have nothing, I am nothing, I will be nothing before worship, after worship, I am nothing but the servant of the servant of the Lord. And the Lord has given me a privilege and honor to serve Him, serve His devotees. And this comes up most beautifully in the Dahi Chida festival. There are parallels here because the same Ganga which has come from Vamana's lotus feet, which we are talking about right now, also was flowing through Panihati, right? What is flowing at Panihati? The same Ganga of Vamandeva is coming, And all the deities or various planets who are there worshipping the Lord. Here, who is there? The all associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu are there. Right? And they're serving whom? They're all coming to us to serve Nityananda Prabhu's lotus feet. Who is Vamandev in one sense? Because Vamandev is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Nityananda Prabhu is also the source of Vamandev, the source of all the avatars. So here we find this beautiful pastime where connecting to my discussion here about the false ego is Raghunath Das Goswami. He's very our most important acharya in that sense, because he's our Prayojan Acharya. And what a Prayojan Acharya does is so relevant, it's so important to see how he actually became the Prayojan Acharya. Why is he Prayojan Acharya? Why is he considered so high and so worshipable that all Gaudiya Vaishnavas for all times to come in the future will put him in high pedestal as being the Prayojana Acharya? The Acharya who teaches you the modality of love and pure devotion. Love and pure unalloyed devotion. So we can see it, his example is very powerful, that here is a person who is actually so rich. So rich. And what does richness do to people mostly? It intoxicates them. Right? So here is a person who is so very rich, son of Govardhan Muzumdar, and he is now attracted to Lord Chaitanya already. But he's been advised by the Lord to not come and join him, but to stay at home and perform his functions as an ordinary, as Prabhupada says, pounds and shilling man. But when the magnet attracts the iron filing, the iron filing is practically loses its independence, because it just gets getting attracted. So even in this way, Raghunath Das was getting attracted so much, so actually he would start physically running away from his home. And run away, and they had about 12 guards always there, and he would, middle of the night, daytime, whenever he would run away, they would also have to physically catch him and bring him back. You can imagine what a situation. He trying to run away every day, trying all his schemes and means, but not able to escape his father. So you can imagine a situation like that, when what parents are going through. Okay, my son is anytime going to leave me. So then, guards only for one person, one boy, he's going to go away, become a brahmachari. Some of you, I hope you've not gone through all this, some of you here. Just day and night, nothing else. Don't guard anything else. Not my wealth, not my cows, or not my anything else. Guard this boy. Just not run away. 12 people all in a shift. Anyway, so here is a person who is powerfully attracted to the Lord. Powerfully attracted to the Lord. And then he understands. He gets news that Nityananda Prabhu is very close by here. At Panihati, a village called Panihati. Panihati is there in Navadvip. Some of you us haven't had this privilege of going there. It is just on the Ganga. It is a village just on Ganga, flows through Panihati. So Nityananda Prabhu has come there. So he went to meet Nityananda Prabhu. And there it was explained, Nityananda Prabhu's presence, his awesome presence. Please remember, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the source of Brahma Jyoti. So he's sitting, it explained that when you're sitting there on the rock, under the banyan tree, he was manifesting the effulgence of millions of suns. Now one sun, you cannot stare into the eye. You cannot look at the sun and stare, because you go blind. But in Nityananda Prabhu's presence, having the awesome Brahma Jyoti effulgence coming from him of millions of suns. Powerful personality. Nityananda Prabhu is extremely powerful. And then he had all his associates. They've explained, the names are given here. Why do we have to remember the names of his associates? Let us read the names of the people who are sitting there with the Lord. Where is it? Yeah. Now, in reciting the Lord's devotees' names, you get purified. So, there is a Vaishnava song, I forget the name, Namete Ullas. There's a Vaishnava song in our Nathana Das Thakur where he says that even chanting the devotees' names is purifying. The Vakaraj Goswami specifically mentions names. He didn't say associates of the Lord. He specifically mentions names. Ram Das, Sundar Ananda, Gadadhar Das, Murari, ಕಮಲಾಕರ, ಸದಾಶಿವ, ಪುರಂದರ, ಧನಂಜಯ, ಜಗದೀಶ್, ಪರಮೇಶ್ವರ ದಾಸ್, ಮಹೇಶ್, ಗೌರಿದಾಸ್, ಹೋಡಕೃಷ್ಣ ದಾಸ್, ದೆನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೋರ್ಸ್ ಉದಾಹರಣ ದತ್ತ ದಾಸ್, ಉದಾಹರಣ ದತ್ತ ಠಾಕೂರ್. ಸೊ ಇಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನಲ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್. ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್? ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ದಿ ಕಾವರ್ಡ್ ಬಾಯ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬಲರಾಮ್. ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಕಾವರ್ಡ್ ಬಾಯ್ಸ್. ದೇರ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಹಿಸ್ ನಿತ್ಯ ಸಿದ್ಧ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ಸ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್, ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್. ಸಂಗೋ ಪಂಗಸ್ತ್ರ ಪಾರ್ಷದ್ ಅಂತ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. ದೇ ಆರ್ ಸಿಟಿಂಗ್ ನೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್. And there in the distance, Raghunath is offering his obeisances. And the Lord calls him, you are a thief, come here. Today I'm going to punish you. And the Lord has a very, it says, Nityananda Prabhu always is not only just powerful, but is also very, very funny. In this mood of Avadhuta, Nityananda Prabhu in this mood, as Lakshmani was a very serious person, very serious serving Lord Ram. No fun, no mischief with Ram. He's like, really on the job, always guarding Sita and all that. But in the mood of Nityananda Prabhu, is like really, you know, really the way he wants to be. He's absolutely avadhut. He's a funny person. So he says, okay, and I want to punish you. What is the punishment? You hold a festival for my devotees. So he orders Raghunath Das Goswami to have a festival. So Raghunath Das Goswami comes close to him. He grabs him, practically drags him, and forcibly puts his lotus feet on his head. Imagine a lord like that. The devotee tries to remain away, but the lord grabs his devotee and puts his feet on his head. How fortunate is Raghunath Das? Now we are hankering to have some connection with the lord's lotus feet, some absorption in his, you know, to remember his lotus feet. The beauty of his lotus feet and the glory of his lotus feet. But here is Nityananda Prabhu actually forcibly offering the dust of his feet. Raghunath Das said, you deserve this. Come on, come here. Pulls him and puts his head. Now, go and arrange for a festival. Right? So, when the devotee is offered any service, here, there are beautiful some lessons keep coming in this, you know, nice story, which you all have heard, of course, all of us have heard, but today is the day when we can remember. You know, it is mercy of the acharyas that they tell us when this festival took place. Is it not? This book we have, the Vaishnava calendar we have, you know, how do we all know that this festival, when did it take place? You just read this and, you know, but acharyas are so kind that they told us that this is the day it took place. So the advantage is that not only the Lord's devotees who at that time participated, but even people down the line, down the, you know, the passage of time, everyone who reads, okay, this day it happened. So it allows for greater absorption. In fact, today afternoon when all of you offer, today morning I was disappointed it is not being made. Well, I thought I'll be able to have it. But I'm disappointed. I told to Sipriya Prabhu, you're going to make it in the afternoon, you're going to miss it. When you people have it in the afternoon today, will be the exact time when the Lord, it's lunchtime. It wasn't offered for breakfast. You see, the Lord is having... So, Susipraya Prabhu is right. It was not a breakfast prasad. It was a lunch prasad. So, it was made in the afternoon. And Nityananda was supposed to go to the house of Raghav Pandit. But he's just, you know, he's a spontaneous person. He doesn't care by schedules. And so, okay, I'm coming by 12:30. No. So, he just, he's there under this rock and this tree. And then things happen. And then things just unfold in a natural way. So, he's not bothered about going there. So, it is actually a lunch event. So, when you have it 1 o'clock, maybe you can... tune in your consciousness to that event. Anyway, so here Raghunath Das Goswami is so very happy that he has been offered some service by the Lord. So when our authorities give us service, when our devotees give us any service, how much we should be welcoming that, like Aparajana Acharya did. Immediately he sent his people, said, go and get earthen pots. So they bought, it seems, large pots, 7 large pots. Now large means like, it's like this large, real large, big. And then, I'm not a cook, so I'll have to read this part. So, you know the recipe. Now, this is our great advantage that we are able to have the same item, but the Lord relished. This is a celestial thing. The same item which is there in our holy scriptures. The topmost scripture is Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And the food items there are the topmost also. Because they are ordered by Gaur and Nithai. The food the Lord eats is what we will also be getting to eat. How wonderful, is it not? When you think of it like that. And what does the Lord eat in, you know, in Vrindavan? What does Mother Yashoda make for him? You know, we don't know, actually. Some description is given. But here, that Yashoda makes maybe laddu. But how she makes laddu, the recipe is not given in Krishna book. Right? But Kaviraj Swami is so kind and so accessibly giving his mercy that the Lord had, if somebody said, dahi chada khaya, so we would not know how to make that dahi chada thing. But here, he is so kindly. It is said that Kaviraj Swami himself was a great cook. Only when great cooks like to honor prasad and make prasad and tell this to somebody else. Right? So he, being a great cook himself, is actually giving the minute-to-minute description of what should be done and how to do it. And when we make it like that, we're getting the same stuff, the same food, the same prasad, but the Lord honored with his associates. How very fortunate is Prabhupada's mercy on us that we're getting to eat the celestial prasad of Gaur and Nithai. It's wonderful. So, in one pot, you have chipped rice which was soaked in hot milk. And the other half, the chipped rice is soaked in yogurt. Right? So, there are basically two. Ek dahi ka preparation hai, aur ek doodh ka preparation hai. Theek hai? So, the one which is mixed with yogurt, dahi, is mixed with sugar and bananas. The other half is mixed with condensed milk and a special type of kela. Now, I don't know what kela they use today. It's called as champa kela. My friend Giriraj Prabhu is somehow arranges to get from somewhere. It's a very rare type of kela. And then they add sugar, ghee, and camphor. So this is the only item I know of where they actually offer camphor. It's very special. It gives that very special flavor. Right? So now, as this news spread, you can compare it to something like, suppose a very rich man's son, like Mukesh Ambani or somebody like that, said, I'm going to have a festival for anyone can come. Right? How many people will come if a rich man's son, Raghunath Swami, is very, very influential, very popular in his village. He said, he's throwing an open festival. So how many people will come? Everybody will come, right? So here, the word uses asankhya. Asankhya people came. So Kaviraj Swami said, I cannot count the number of people. Practically everybody from this village and the news spread by internet to the next neighboring villages. See, prasadam is something which, you know, you don't require internet for that. Like Raghunath Maharaj, when he was in Vrindavan, he used to say this, right? That they have these mendicants, who only survive on the bhandaras which are going on there. So, they would ignore, all of them would know by some secret system that at this time, kaha bhandara hone wala hai? And whose son has died or going to die? And they have made a resolution to, have bhandara in Vrindavan. So even that they would be able to, prophesize. And they would anticipate that, yes, there will be bhandara here on Thursday and Friday there is bhandara there. So no mendicant in Vrindavan ever goes hungry because he is having no house or no wife. So they are all well fed, no problem. So there is a secret message, which goes along, when all these mendicants know. So here also the message spread immediately. Learned brahmanas, priests, great scholars, all of them came. It attracted everybody. Lord is all attractive. The Lord is all attractive. And the power of his mercy inspired everyone's heart to all participate. The Lord is allowing entry to everybody here. So that's how we also get into the picture. That we also, down the line, 500 years later on, we also being allowed. Lord, here is not a confidential leela. This is the glory of Gaur Nithai's leela, that everybody is welcome. And Radha Krishna leela, very restrictive. Lord Shiva stands with a mashal. Nobody should enter. When he came into gopi form, he stands with the mashal. Nobody enters there in Rasa leela. You just can barge into the Rasa leela and say, Krishna, can I also, sort of get a chance to see this beautiful, Rasa leela is very special. Wonderful. But Gaur Nithai's leela, the Lord is the same Krishna, same Radharani, but they know that they have to, jai, Shishi Gaur Nithai ki jai. So, the same Radha Krishna are not just, they enjoy their private pastimes, but they are so kind, they are like a father and mother, and they open up themselves as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then in that form, they allow anybody and everybody to participate. No restrictions, no entry passes, no membership forms, nothing. Everyone can just walk into the Leela and participate. So please remember, everyone came in, and everyone was given two things in their hands. One pot with dahi kachip rice, and one pot with condensed milk, this thing. And they all started sitting on the platform, and then under the platform, and around the platform, and it explained, don't right? We have seen this beautiful picture which is there in Mayapur. In Mayapur, in the old Prasadam Hall, because it's Prasadam Hall, so then they had this beautiful painting of the Zenjida festival earlier. Now we use the big Prasadam Hall where it is not there, but the previous one which we had visited in 86. The beautiful, nice painting is there. So all the devotees people are just pouring in, and there's no place for everybody. But yes, there is place. There is love, there is place, everything is there. So they all walk, and then they go and sit on the bank of the Ganga, and somebody goes a little bit into the Ganga, and then go a little bit into the Ganga. So Ganga is flowing there, and then they go, into the Ganga, and then into the Ganga, and then holding like this. So everyone is standing there. But no one wants to miss this opportunity of honoring Prasad with Nityananda Prabhu. Right? And then, of course, Nityananda Prabhu was given 4 large pots. And he honors this Prasad with great rejoice. And then he cannot enjoy alone. Nityananda Prabhu cannot enjoy alone. He always has to have his dearmost Lord with him. So in his meditation, he calls Lord Chaitanya, who is now at Puri. And when the Lord calls, Nityananda Prabhu calls, Chaitanya Prabhu can never say no. So he comes in his invisible, unmanifested form. Please see here the difference that it is a mystic Leela. Mysticism is being used in Gaur in Chaitanya Prabhu Leela only for pleasure. Like in Ramlila, mysticism was used for fighting a war. Right? Mystic weapons were used and So mysticism was used, but for fighting, doing some serious business. But in Gaur Leela, mysticism is still there, but it is only for pleasure. Only for pleasure. Chaitanya Prabhu expanding into 7 forms in 7 parties for pleasure. There's no serious thing going on there, it's just for. So the mysticism goes actually in the background. It's not a very important thing. And the pleasure comes in front. The Ananda aspect comes in front. Mysticism is just assisting the fun of the Lord. So he calls the Lord in his unmanifested form, and the Lord comes. Somebody can see, most people cannot see him. And they want to have more fun now. This Leela is a Leela of a beautiful of Sakhyaras. There is no Madhurya here, absolutely. Therefore, Sakhyaras is like friendship is for everybody. Right? So there is a Sakhyaras going on between Gaur and Nitai. So they both start walking through the planks, through the ranks of the devotees. And what is Nityananda Prabhu doing? Something very funny. Now, the devotees are honoring Prasad. And he takes that morsel and takes and puts it into the Lord Chaitanya's mouth. This is very amazing thing which he's doing. Chaitanya Prabhu says, okay, I'll do that for you also. So he grabs something from another devotee's pot and puts in Nityananda Prabhu's mouth. So this is going on like that, and just having a nice time. They're laughing, they're joking. Nityananda Prabhu is in great ecstasy. He is with his devotees. And he is reminiscing what? He is reminiscing his Leela with Krishna at the bank of the Jamuna. This is something which happens in Gaur Leela many times. That Chaitanya Prabhu jumps into the Ganga, but thinking of the Jamuna. He looks at the sand dune and thinks of Govardhan, right? So, because there was more fun there. This is a Bhakta avatar, so he's not manifesting his enjoyment Leela, he's a Bhakta. But the fun was where? When he was Krishna, he was Rasaraj, enjoying all rasas. So, in this way, many times in Gaur Nitai's Leela, they're doing something, but they think back about the fun they had in Krishna Leela. So here is the same Leela going on, the same people are there, the same coward boys are there, the same Krishna and Balaram are there, the same thing is going on, but in the form where everyone can participate. So this is going on nicely, and Nityananda Prabhu is very, 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 very happy, is very ecstatic, very, very ecstatic. In manifesting all moods of ecstatic devotion. And then there is scarcity, there are so many people coming in, so Raghunath Swami orders for more pots and more chipped rice and more bananas, more sellers and hawkers come there. It's okay, they all come with all their ingredients and everything. That you have ingredients here being collected for Vamandev's worship. by all the deities of the various planets. So all the ingredients have been collected from all different places for the pleasure of Gaura and Nitai. And this goes on so beautifully there. And as they're all having prasadam, then something important which they did. This is an important principle. That when they're ordering prasad, they're all chanting what? Hari, Hari! Hari, Hari! Right. So this is important. That when we chant, when you're doing some seva, at that time also you should remember Krishna. Like I remember, it was Maharaj or some, I don't know who. Like when you're cooking our bhoga for the Sunday feast, our grihasthas come and they cook, right? So then there is also one party or some devotee who will chant Hare Krishna during that time. When I think all of you also are cleaning the temple, you chant, right? So when we're doing some particular service, either switching a cloth or making some prasad, or even during that particular service going on, we still want to be Kirtaniya Sada Hari. So then Hari has to come in there. So when we're enjoying, we don't want to just get involved in enjoyment so much that we forget Krishna. It's so much enjoyment that we are forgetting Krishna. So in that enjoyment, Krishna has to be there. Krishna has to be everywhere. Satayanto, Kitayanto, Mam. Right? So then during prasadam, again they're not talking, they're no prasalpa, nothing. They're all chanting Hari Hari. Right? So this is beautiful pastime going on there. And at Pani Hati. And then of course Raghav Pandit comes in and he's surprised. He's, wow, this is great fun here. And as soon as he comes in, he said, better. Sit down. You also take. So he also gets two bowls and said, you're supposed to come to my house. I'll come in the night. Come in the night to your place, take prasad there, but now I'm going to have nice prasad over here. So this has become famous, Kaviraj Goswami says, as the Dahin Chida Mahotsav. It's not just a utsav, it's a mahotsav, it's a great utsav. And today is that special day, and this Leela really took place, and it has been a great joy. Krishna consciousness is fun, it's Nitya Utsav, it's a great festival every day. So we are all very much blessed, supremely blessed by Prabhupada's movement, that we are also able to enjoy and relish these very sweet experiences of life, which millionaires cannot enjoy. Just sitting together with Krishna's devotees, hearing his pastimes, enjoying the same food, the same recipe, which was had by Gaura Nitai, we will have today afternoon at 1 p.m. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sri Sri Gaura Nitai Dahi Chida Mahotsav Ki, Raghunath Das Goswami Ki, Hare Krishna.